Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You have tuned in to another episode of The Double Edge Factor. I am your host, Rob Manuel, and peace and blessings unto you. Before we get going, be sure to like, follow, and hit that subscribe button, because the more positive interactions you put out there, the more they push this podcast to people who have never heard it before, which, of course, will allow us to grow and have a greater impact on more people around the world. So, if you don't mind, go to rodmanuel.com. That's RODMANUEL.com. Join that email list and remember to like, follow, and subscribe. Today, we're diving into something that I think touches all of us in one way or another. The dangerous habit of sitting in our traumas, burying them deep, and pretending they are not even there. And I want to explore this through an ancient story that is as relevant today as it was years ago. But before we jump in, let me just say this up front. I'm not a therapist or a medical professional. If you're dealing with serious trauma, please reach out to a qualified mental health professional. What I want to do today is have an honest conversation about why we hide our pain and how we can start the journey toward healing. Let me tell you about a story of a woman who appears in the Gospel of John. She's known simply as the woman at the well. And here's the thing. We don't even know her name. That's significant itself. She's been reduced to her circumstances, her past, and her shame. The story goes like this. In the middle of the day, noon, it's scorching, it's hot, it's heat. It's in Samaria, right? Jesus is traveling through and stops at a well to rest. And this woman comes to draw water alone by herself. Now, that detail really matters. In that culture, women would typically go to the well early in the morning or in the evening when it's cooler, and they'd go together. It is like a social event, a time for community. But this woman in particular, she comes at noon in the heat alone. Why? Because she's avoiding everyone. She's carrying something so heavy, so shameful, that she'd rather face the brutal midday sun than face whisperers, the judgment, the eyes of the community, just all on her. So Jesus starts a conversation with her, which itself is scandalous, right? Jewish men didn't speak to the Samaritan women, But Jesus asked her for a drink, and this simple request opens up an entire dialogue. Eventually, he tells her to go call her husband. And here's when it all comes out. She says, "I have no husband." Jesus responds, "You're right. You've had five. And the man you're living with now isn't your husband." Five marriages, five failures, five stories of loss, disappointment, maybe abuse, maybe abandonment. And now she's in a relationship that her community doesn't recognize, doesn't respect. Can you imagine carrying that? The shame, the sense that you're somehow broken yourself beyond repair. This woman has been sitting on her trauma, walking around with it every single day. And it was controlling her life when she went to get water, how she reinteracted with other people, or how she even saw herself. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about buried trauma. It doesn't just sit there quietly. It's not inert. It's active. It's working on you, shaping you, limiting you, even when you try or even when you think you've got it all locked away. Let me explain what I mean by sitting on your trauma. I'm talking about those experiences, whether it be big or small, that have hurt us deeply. But instead of processing them, instead of facing them, we just kind of push them down. We tell ourselves, "Hey, man, I'm over it. It wasn't that bad," or "I just need to be strong and move forward." Maybe it's childhood neglect. Maybe it's abuse. Maybe it's a devastating breakup or betrayal. Maybe it's a failure that crushed your dreams. Maybe it's grief you've never allowed yourself to fully feel. Maybe it's something that happened years ago, or maybe it's something from last month. Whatever it is, you've decided, consciously or unconsciously, that the best strategy is to not think about it. It's to keep busy, to distract yourself, to build walls that pain, and you just figure out how to live around it. So, why is this dangerous? Let me count the ways. First, unprocessed trauma lives in our body. This is not a spiritual concept. It's actually science. There's a whole field of study around this now, looking at how trauma gets stored in our nervous system, our muscles, and our very cells. When you experience trauma, your body goes into survival mode, fight, flight, or freeze. Your nervous system floods with stress hormones, and your body prepares for danger. If you never complete the stress cycle, if you never process and release that activation, it stays there, stuck. This is why people with unprocessed trauma often experience chronic tension, headaches, digestive disorders, insomnia, chronic pain. Your body is still holding on to the threat response from years ago. That woman at the well, I guarantee you, she's carrying physical symptoms of her buried pain. Second, buried trauma shapes your behavior in ways you don't even recognize. It's like you're walking around with a heavy backpack that you've been carrying for so long. You've forgotten it's there. But it's still affecting every step you take. Maybe you find yourself avoiding situations without even knowing why. Maybe you overreact to small things. They're actually trying to trigger something deeper. Or maybe you sabotage relationships because somewhere deep inside, you believe you don't deserve that type of love. Maybe you work yourself to exhaustion because stopping means you gotta feel it. The woman at the well had organized her entire life around avoiding her shame. She was literally changing her daily routine, isolating herself, and living in the shadows. And that's kind of what unprocessed trauma does. It makes you smaller. It makes your world smaller. Third, buried trauma affects your relationships. I want you to think about this. If you can't be honest with yourself about your pain, how can you truly be honest with others? If you're wearing a mask to hide your wounds, you're really not connecting. You're just performing. Unprocessed trauma can make you defensive, suspicious, or emotionally unavailable. It can make you choose partners who hurt you in familiar ways. It can make you push away the very people who want to help you. Here's something that breaks my heart about this. Buried trauma gets passed down. If you don't deal with your pain, there's a good chance you'll unconsciously pass patterns of hurt to your children and your loved ones. The wounds we don't heal become the wounds we inflict. Fourth, sitting in our trauma keeps you stuck in the past. You think you're moving forward because the time is passing, but life is happening. But emotionally, spiritually, you're still back there. Part of you is still that hurt child or that devastated teenager or that broken version of yourself from whenever the trauma happened. You are not fully present in life because part of you is always back there, guarding that wound, making sure no one gets too close to it, including yourself. Now, back to the story. When Jesus reveals that he knows everything about this woman, her five husbands, her current situation, something incredible happens. She doesn't run away. She doesn't deny it. She doesn't make any excuses. Instead, she decides she's going to engage. She stays in the conversation, and then Jesus offers her. Instead, she engages. She stays in the conversation, and then Jesus offers her living water, a metaphor for spiritual renewal, for transformation, for healing that goes deeper than anything surface level. This, my friends, is the pivot point. This is when sitting in your trauma has to become dealing with your trauma, when the pain that's been hidden comes into the light. And I want you to notice something crucial here. Jesus didn't shame her. He didn't lecture her. He just simply saw her, fully just saw her and offered her something better. And that's what the healing journey looks like. It's like we are, we're being seen, we're being known, and not being destroyed by that vulnerability. And we will be right back. Today's show is brought to you by Polished Custom Builders, where they specialize in building your dream into a reality through custom home building, renovations, and interior design. Check them out at polishedcustombuilders.com, where the most beautiful house in the world is the one that you build yourself. So, how do we stop sitting in our trauma? How do we start that healing process? Let me offer some practical steps. Step one, acknowledge that it happened and that it mattered. This sounds simple, but it's revolutionary. Stop minimizing your pain. Stop comparing your trauma to others and deciding yours wasn't bad enough to matter. If it hurt, it matters. Period. Say it out loud. This happened to me. It was painful. It affected me. That type of acknowledgement is the first crack in the wall you've built around your pain. Step two, find a safe person or find a safe space to share your story. This is crucial. You can't heal in isolation. Trauma thrives in secrecy and shame. Healing happens in connection. Maybe it's a therapist. And honestly, I can't recommend therapists enough for trauma work. Maybe it's a trusted friend, a pastor, a support group. The key here is finding someone who can hold space for your pain without trying to fix it, dismiss it, or make you feel a certain way about it. The woman at the well found that in Jesus. He was the safe person who could see all of her and not turn her away. We all need someone like that. Step three, feel your feelings. This is probably the hardest part. You spent so much energy not feeling it, and now you have to actually feel it. And let me tell you, it's going to hurt. The feelings you've been avoiding, the rage, the grief, the shame, the fear, they're all intense. But here's the truth. The only way out it is through it. You cannot heal what you refuse to feel. You have to let yourself cry, scream in a pillow, shake with rage, sit in with that sadness. This is how you complete the stress cycle your body never got to finish. This is how you release what's been stuck. And here's the amazing thing. Feelings, when you actually let yourself feel them, they don't last forever. They rise, they peak, they pass. It's the feelings you avoid that become permanent residents in your body. Number four, challenge your narratives traumas have created. Trauma doesn't just hurt us in a moment. It creates stories about who we are. You know, you say things like, I'm broken. I'm unlovable. It was my fault. I'll never be safe again. I'm too damaged for good things. These type of narratives become the lens through which you see everything. And they're usually lies, but they feel true because they've been with you so long. You have to actively challenge these stories. Write them down. Look at them. Ask yourself, is this actually true? What evidence contradicts this? What would I tell a friend who believed this about themselves? That woman in the well, she had her own narrative. Damaged goods, serial failure, shame personified. But Jesus offered her a different story. Known, worthy, chosen for an encounter with the divine. Step five, practice self-compassion. This is huge. So many of us are carrying trauma while simultaneously beating up ourselves for not being over it yet. We're harsh with ourselves in ways we'd never be with anyone else. You got to treat yourself the way you treat someone you deeply love who's going through the same thing. Would you tell them to just get over it? To stop being so sensitive? To pull themselves up by the bootstraps? No. You'd be gentle. You'd be patient. You'd celebrate their small steps forward. You'd hold them when they're actually struggling. So why not do that for yourself? Step six, reclaim your life piece by piece. The woman at the well was hiding at noon. After her encounter with Jesus, she runs back to town in the middle of the day and tells everyone what happened. The woman who was avoiding people now becomes the woman who invites them to come and see. That's what healing looks like. It's not instant. It's not linear, but gradual. You start reclaiming the pieces of your life that trauma has stolen from you. Maybe you start going to places you've never been before because you were avoiding them. Maybe you try activities you'd given up on or maybe you just open up yourself to relationship again. Small steps, and I always talk about small steps. Small steps, right? But each one is a victory. Each one is you taking your life back from what hurt you. Number 7, consider professional help for that complex trauma. Some trauma is simply just too big, too complex, or too deeply rooted to process alone. There's no shame in this. Actually, recognizing when you need professional help is a sign of wisdom and it's a sign of strength. Therapies like EMDR, somatic experiencing, cognitive processive therapy, and trauma-focused CBT have helped millions of people heal even from the most severe trauma. Say, for instance, you're dealing with PTSD, childhood abuse, violence, or other serious trauma. I'm going to ask you to please reach out to someone that's trained to help you with trauma therapy. Here's what happens when you stop sitting in your trauma and really start to heal. You get your life back. You get that energy back. You get that joy back. Your ability to be present back. You stop being controlled by your past. You stop shrinking yourself to accommodate old wounds. You stop choosing safety over growth. The woman at the well became an evangelist, someone who told others about the healing that she found. Her story of shame has now become the story of transformation. Not because the painful things that didn't happen, but because she let them be touched by healing. That same type of healing is available to you too. Your trauma, it doesn't have to get to be the end of your story. It's just a chapter. Maybe it's a long, painful chapter, but it's not the conclusion. You get to write what comes next. And I want to leave you with this. The most dangerous thing about sitting in your trauma isn't just what it does to you. It's really about what it prevents you from becoming. There's a version of you on the other side of this healing work. There's a version that's lighter, freer, more full, and more alive. A version that can love more deeply, laugh more easily, trust more readily. It's a version that is not performing, is not pretending, and is not hiding. That version of you is worth fighting for, worth doing the hard work for, worth facing that pain for. The woman in the well came to the water well at noon, alone, carrying 5 marriages worth of pain and shame. She left in broad daylight, unburdened, inviting others into her story. And that's the journey from hiding to healing, from shame to freedom, from being controlled by your past to being present in your life. You do not have to walk this road alone. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to let your hurt define you forever. That pain that you're sitting in, it's time to face it. Not because it's going to be easy, but because you deserve to be free. That's the journey from hiding to healing, from shame to freedom, from being controlled by your past to being present in your life. You don't have to walk this road alone. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to let what hurt you define you forever. So that pain that you're sitting in, it's time to face it. Not because it will be easy, because you deserve to be free. This is Rob Manuel with The Double-Edged Factor. And if you found this episode or even a few words value added, share this episode with just one person. The only way we grow this podcast is when you guys share it. The more you share, the greater impact we have on more listeners around the world. So hit that subscribe button to never miss another episode. Or you can go to robmanuel.com. That's R-O-D MANUEL.com, where you can subscribe and have access to my my latest coaching insights, podcast episodes, and my latest book entitled Faith on Demand, and all other exclusive content. So don't forget to join that email list. And I'll leave you with this, my friends. Be intentional with your words, be intentional with your thoughts, and be intentional with your actions. And always find a way to be a blessing to someone else today.